The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth in a town in Galilee to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So this week I had a very intentional opportunity to do some waiting, and I proved how lousy I am at waiting. So I was waiting at the doctor's office. I'm sure many of you have been in that position. And after I did everything I needed to do for the doctor, I quickly got my phone out and I began actually doing research for this sermon and reading some things that I could find online, because none of us are very good at waiting and just sitting, are we? But didn't take very long before they called my name, and I went back, and as soon as I sat down in the chair, I noticed the magazine next to me, and as soon as the nurse got done doing what she needed to do and I had the opportunity to wait again, I took the opportunity to grab that magazine that was next to me in that chair. And right on the cover, it was the cover of it that caught my attention, of this People magazine that read, "Julianne Hough's My Dream Wedding." Her dream wedding began on Thursday as people began to show up at Idaho at this place that they had met and fallen in love. And they had time on the lake, and then they had a big dinner that evening. She had two dresses, because every bride needs two dresses. One for the wedding, and then, of course, one that she could dance in and have fun in at the reception. The ring bearer were dogs. Of course, there were 2,000 flowers, over 2,000 lights and candles that you would experience at the reception. There was the camper photo booth, and there were fireworks at their first dance. I mean, the wedding just was this beautiful dream that they had that came true. So many people find themselves in this position with these visions of the dream wedding. I found several others that people had done magazine articles on throughout the years, and I could probably find many in this room. We've got many newlywed couples here that did some planning over the past year on their wedding. You get really into it with very detailed lists and notebooks and meetings with people and taste tests and all kinds of stuff that you can do, right, for this dream wedding that you plan. Well, the woman that we're going to watch in this video had a dream wedding plan. Let's take a look and see how her dream wedding played out.
"Chloe, will you have Keith to be your wedded husband, to live together in the covenant of marriage? Will you love him, comfort him, honor and keep him, in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, be faithful to him as long as you both shall live? The rings, please."
Dream wedding out by the pool, outdoors. Came crashing down very quickly. But that sort of thing, it happens often. I've been a part of lots of weddings. Luckily, I've never fallen into the pool with the bride. But those kinds of things happen in weddings. You put together this great plan. It's organized. It's ready. It's envisioned in your head. But the reality is, so often, that plan is not played out. It doesn't happen. I bet Mary had some thoughts about what her wedding would be like, Weddings were great festivities during that time and culture. It was a great celebration lasting days and days with the community involved. She and Joseph would get married, they would have children, and they would build this home and this family together, as was expected, not only by the two of them, but by the community that they were connected to. Well, until Gabriel came along. He came along and offered to her another dream. Not her own, not her parents, who had probably arranged this marriage, not Joseph's, but God's dream and God's plan. But what about her wedding plans? What about her dream wedding? Had it all of a sudden turned into a scandal? Would Joseph even marry her now? Would her family and friends, the community she lived in the midst of, believe this? Could you imagine your teenage daughter possibly coming home as she's in this time of engagement and betrothal, which is a legal document and a time in her life, come home as a teenage girl to tell her parents she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit? Not something that you'd probably believe if your child tried to explain that one to you. But here she is with this new dream and this new plan before her. Mary came to learn through Gabriel that God had a dream bigger than her own, bigger than her, for it was God-sized. And as the angel came to Mary that day, she was willing to have an encounter, to have a conversation, to listen to the angel and to hear what he had to say. The angel had some important truths to tell her. First, she was highly favored. She was graced, and graced in such a way that her life was going to be changed forever. Grace. Favor that is given to her by God, not because of anything that she had done, but because of who he was and the work that he was going to do in her life. And in that greeting, he wanted to be sure Mary knew that the Lord was with her. She was not alone. For what he was about to tell her, she needed to know that God was going to be with her, that it was God's doing. And even with those words of truth, though, given to Mary, Mary found herself to be troubled in this state and this feeling of trouble. But who wouldn't be? An angel that was sent to Nazareth by God appeared to her. And this was not some everyday occurrence or something that was in the scope of what she thought might happen in that day. But it happened. And as it happened, as these great truths were told to her, she became troubled. So God's grace responded. And it responded to her with another truth. Do not be afraid. And we go back to the first two truths. You are highly favored and the Lord is with you. She didn't have to be afraid. Because of God and who he was and is and will be, she did not need to be afraid. Whatever thoughts she might be having about Joseph not wanting to marry her, about the ridicule that she might receive from her neighbors, about the fact that they could cause her to be an outcast or even stoned, she did not need to be afraid. This was God's dream. So she didn't need to rely on herself. She needed to rely on God seeing it through. She needed to know that if God had a dream that she would give birth to a son, that she was going to name Jesus, a son that would be great, called the Most High, given the throne of David to reign over Jacob's descendants, that his kingdom would never end, then he was going to see it through. He was going to take care of every detail. He was going to knock down the barriers. He was going to take care of the gossip. He was going to take care of Joseph. In Matthew 1, we learn that Joseph was planning on leaving her. He was going to be nice about it. He was going to quietly divorce her. It was going to be this quiet thing. But we also learn that an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph while he was sleeping. And he said to Joseph, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are going to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. God was going to take care of her, and she did not need to be afraid. The angel continued to tell her the truths about how God was working this dream out when he told her the Holy Spirit was going to come on her. The power of the Most High was hers. God had her covered from head to toe and everything in between. She was covered. And you can envision God surrounding her on the inside and out. He was going to provide for her, empower her. He was at work in her in such a way that she did not need to rely on herself, but needed to place her life in his hands and allow him to move and to work in ways that only God could move and work. Because you see, as the angel said to her, nothing is impossible with God. What appears to be impossible is not. God has the ability to change the impossible to possible. His dreams, they will come true. He had a dream wedding for Mary. It was just different than her original plan. It was bigger, more grand, more life-changing, transforming for the world. More than her mind could comprehend or plan on her own. Another translation of nothing is impossible with God is, for no word from God will ever fail. If God says something is going to happen, it's going to happen. If it is God's dream, it will come to completion. He is faithful and he has fulfilled every promise that he's given. His word will not fail. God will not fail. Maybe this list of things is all familiar to you. You've heard this story before. So many of you have heard this story before of Mary and how she's highly favored and the Lord is with her. She should not be afraid. The Holy Spirit is upon her, for nothing is impossible with God. And it's time of Christmas and Christmas Eve. We hear this story of Mary. But the question for us today is, do we believe them? Do we believe them about Mary, and do we believe them about ourselves? Do we believe these truths are ours? That you are highly favored? That the Lord is with you? That you do not need to be afraid? That the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and that nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible with God? And maybe there's one of them that you struggle with. Maybe there's one that you said, you know, sometimes I'm just afraid. Or sometimes when I get a thought in my head, I say, it's impossible, and I just put it behind me. Sometimes I say, certainly I'm not favored. I did this and this and this, and certainly God couldn't favor me. So maybe there's something in that list that we need to allow God to speak into our hearts this morning and to remind us or tell us for the first time, this is a truth that is for you. This truth is for you. You see, Mary believed these promises. Not only did she hear them from the angel, but she made a decision to believe. So she responded, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Mary believed. She believed all the angel said to her about who God was and what he wanted to do, and therefore who she was and what God could do through her. Mary's dream changed. I experienced in the story some tension. And maybe you hear some too, from the point when Mary says, how will this be? To the point where she says, I am the Lord's servant. There's tension. But the tension in the words of truth heard in the midst of that conversation, in the midst of that tension, brought Mary to the presence of God, to a place where she could see the promise being fulfilled. She could imagine the dream, and she could make the dream her own. She knew the world needed a Savior. It was in turmoil. As we learned last week, in the passage last week, this was a time when a King Herod ruled. And King Herod, he was a violent man. He went as far, he killed his own wife and his sons, others. Whoever he wanted to kill, he just killed him. If they got in his way, he killed him. That was his answer. The people were in need. They were in need of a Savior, in need of Jesus, the Son that she would give birth to fulfill this impossible dream. This week, I got to take part with PEACE, Polk Ecumenical Action Council for Empowerment. It's a social justice group that we and there's 20 churches that take part in it in Polk County. And we got to meet with some community leaders and some of our elected officials over the past 2 weeks. See, 5 years ago, they had this dream. They had a dream that children would not be arrested for first time nonviolent misdemeanors. They didn't want to see children who made a mistake, maybe because they had a bad day, maybe something happened at home and they were carrying this anger around and just did something that they would regret later. Maybe they didn't want to see children who took a dare from a friend to go and do something. They didn't want to see their lives hurt and change forever. They didn't want to see them not be able to then get college scholarships, not be able to join the military. There's one young woman for a mistake she made younger in her life, and she even got her record cleared, she had thought, until she went to go sit for the nursing exam. And the record, even from when she was a teenager, showed up, and she was not allowed to sit for it. They didn't want to see those kinds of things happen anymore to people. So this dream to change that, to give these children a chance. A dream which would consist of meeting with county commissioners and with the state attorney, with stores like Walmart to find out what they do when children do things like steal gum or a loaf of bread or do silly things in the store that irritates people, other customers. And they sat with these people and talked. They went to Tallahassee to speak with representatives. They were willing to take the dream God placed in their heart to give these children a chance and say, I am the Lord's servant. This past April, that group celebrated the fact that not only were children now going to be given this chance, but also their dream of health clinics in Polk County came to fruition as the fifth health clinic was opened this past spring. And something for people that would save people who are in turmoil and hurt. They have new dreams now. As I've talked with them and talked with people in other churches about what's going on, new dreams to have more offerings for mental health and people that struggle with mental health issues. And the new dream about affordable housing and trying to take care of the issue of homelessness in our community. God, you see, God has these dreams. Dreams that all people know Jesus, that every knee will bow and every tongue confess. His dreams are because he loves the world so much that he sent his one and only son. He dreams that all would be equal, that all would have something to eat and drink and clothes to wear, that the stranger would be invited in and the sick would be taken care of and those in prison, that they would be visited. He dreams that all would be given dignity and find their worth and their value in him, that all would love God and love their neighbor. His dreams are powerful and they're life-changing. And they might even appear impossible. They might be different than our dreams. Our dream that the world placed upon us to grow up and to get a job and to get married and have 1.8 children and to live in a house with a white picket fence. A dream to have that good job and to move up the chain of command. A dream to own a certain car and live in a certain neighborhood. Dreams. Most of our dreams, if we're honest with ourselves, our dreams are really neat and tidy. But then, Maybe not by an angel named Gabriel, but our dream is no longer our dream. It's no longer a reality. Something happens in life that changes it totally. Mwanda had a dream that she and her husband and son would live happily ever after. This phrase that we know and that we use. But then her son and husband were arrested, driven away in hoods, and never seen again, taken by the brutal activities that were happening in Zimbabwe at that time. And she decided she was going to stand in protest every Friday. So she stood every Friday in front of the police station there, enduring beatings and tauntings and public strip searches. Justice appeared to be an impossible dream for her. She was even asked one day by those that were taunting her, "Why do you keep this up, old woman? You have no hope. We are too strong. We will beat you up and beat you down until you can't get up, and we will be here to stay." And she responded, "I hope, because the power within me is stronger than the power of this world. God hears the cry of the oppressed and will raise the lowly up. You can beat me down, but I will rise up out of the grave if necessary. The power of justice, the power of God does not die. Maybe today, maybe in 1,000 years, tyranny will fall and God's righteousness will reign across the land." For she was not willing to stand by and to just let it happen. Her dream was demolished as her son and her husband were taken away, never to be seen again. But she let rise within her a new dream, God's dream. For her, but more importantly, for the world and for the people, for her, for the people of Zimbabwe. Maybe for us, for the people of Polk County, or for the people of Florida, for the people of the United States, maybe it is for the people of the world that God will plant within us a dream, change our neat and tidy dreams to something that is just impossible and life-changing, transforming the world. So maybe your dream didn't work out. I know some of mine have not. The details did not fall into place as you had hoped. Maybe it doesn't bring fulfillment that you had wanted. Maybe you're not content with it anymore. So what is the dream that God is giving you? What is the new dream that he has for you, to bring the presence and the love of the Savior born for the world, Jesus, into people's lives? Will you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for the story of Mary. We thank you for who she was and therefore who we are, followers of Jesus Christ. Lord, I know there are some in here this morning that their dreams have been shattered. What they had hoped for, it didn't happen. It's not going to happen. But we know that you are a God of redemption, a God of new life, a God of dreams, the impossible dreams, something that is far better than we could create on our own, that we could design on our own, that we could envision on our own. So I pray in this time that you would place within us your visions and your dreams, that we would be able to see what you can see, that you would enlarge our minds and our hearts. And we pray for that change, not only for our lives, but for the life of the world. Because, Lord, we believe in you, we then believe that we are highly favored. We believe, God, that you are with us. So we won't be afraid. We believe, Lord, that the Holy Spirit has come upon us. The power of the Most High is going to overshadow us. And we believe, Lord, that there is nothing impossible with you. And that your word, it has never failed. For that is who you are. And so we sit in your house of prayer and worship, waiting and ready. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Go from this place, living out the dreams that God has planted in your heart. You have everything that you need, for you have the truths of God from his word that will never fail. You have that in your possession. You have been given that, everything that you need. So go and live those dreams out. Go and tell one another, go and tell the world that a Savior, Jesus Christ, has been born for them. Go in his grace, his peace, and his love. Amen.